Well, I was thinking about going into a second job, and I think it's going to be about driver training. Because I just found a lot of good customers. We also have a captain for the police department that runs the sound here, and he saw everybody that raised their hands. So, you're out of the statute of limitations. Amen? Isn't God good? You know, it's a blessing to come here and see all the men that we got here today and their children and their families. What a blessing it is. You know, I'm so blessed because my family's here today too. But I want to start out today about talking about a journey. Every one of us is on a journey to do something in our life. And the key part of what we need to do to be on that journey, if we have a family, is to take care of that family. To be sure that they're loved, that they're cared for, that we teach them everything that we can. Because how many of you know they're going to grow up and they're going to leave. And I'm going to share some more of that later on today. But they're going to go. So that tells me if they're my family, if they're of my likeness and of God's likeness, then I need to do everything that's within me to raise those children, to teach them about God first, to teach them how to make a living, to teach them how to be a person, how to treat other people, how to love other people. You know, I think that that's the thing that God has put into man, every part of that, about we're supposed to love God, right? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our energy, and everything that's within us, we're to love God. Then what is the second commandment? And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are two commandments that we need to teach our children. Because not only do we love, we're loved by God, but we're supposed to love other people. And let our children know that. One of the things that we're doing is talking about a download. That is a great download to have. If you've never done that, if you've never started that in your family, I want to challenge you to begin to do that. Another thing is, it's a heritage. You're going to leave a heritage and a legacy no matter what, whether you do it right or you're wrong. Because whatever your children see, they're going to see what you do, and the odds are they're going to be exactly like you do. If you treat your wife bad, they're going to probably treat their wife bad. If you go to school and learn something, the odds are they're going to go to school and learn something. If you serve God, the odds are they're going to serve God in everything that they do. And we have to do that because we are the pattern that they're looking at. They have no other patterns to see unless you plug them into a TV or a computer all day long. And I promise you, they're going to pick that up. But that is not your legacy or your heritage. We need to do that as people. Amen? Some do and some do not. And we're living in a day and age right now where some do not do those things. Do not. There are very few people nowadays that really do a family devotion in their house, and that's pray. If you just pray over the food when it comes out, no matter where you are, you pray over it. There's people that just don't do that anymore because that may offend somebody, or it may be embarrassing in this restaurant. How many of you know that when you pray, you're going to get somebody's attention? Now, I don't mean to do one of those prayers like a pastor I used to know. One time we was at Shoney's, and we had about 15 or 20 people in there eating, and it was time to say the blessing, and people was milling in and out of that place. And he got up and he said, "Okay, it's time to say the blessing." And I mean, everybody in that restaurant just stopped, you know. And about that time, this lady had a big old tray, and she just boom. And I mean, it must have been 1,000 glasses on that thing. And you could hear them tingling for 15 minutes almost. And he said, "Okay." And he started, and basically he preached the word of God for about 5 minutes. And people sit there and listen to him. But he made a deal about it. But you don't need to do that. Don't do that, please. But if you're going to pray, just pray. The key thing about praying is, for one thing, is to thank God for your food. The second thing is to show your family that you reverence God and you thank Him for that food. And they will begin to do that. Amen? Okay, another thing is affirmation. Very few men in the age that I grew up in were affirmed by their daddies. We just had some men, we're still having men's groups right now, but for about 3 or 4 months we were talking about affirmation, about affirming fathers, that fathers did not affirm their children, that they never told them. And let me read this description about this, the meaning. It says affirmation, something declared to be true. Something declared to be true. How many of you know that we need to know the truth today? Things that are true, we ought to call things that are true. Things that are false, we ought to call things false. Another one is, it's a statement intended to provide encouragement. Encouragement to our children. It's another thing, it's a statement of emotional support or motivation. And you know the first one that affirmed someone was our Heavenly Father when Jesus went down into the water and John the Baptist baptized him. And he came up out of that water. The Bible says that the Father affirmed Jesus. The very first affirmation. Jesus never did a miracle before that. He never did anything until that day. And when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased in Him, He affirmed His Son. And immediately Jesus took on that manhood and began to do what He needed to do. Amen? That's an affirmation. And a lot of times we were talking about in the men's groups about, did your father affirm you? Did he ever tell you that you were good? When you went out for sports, did he say, "Go for it, son. I want to encourage you. I want to give you some motivation behind it. I want you to be a strong young man. I want you to do that." Or when you took him hunting, you know, and he couldn't hit the side of a barn with a shotgun, and you got him on the side and said, "That's okay. One day you're going to learn how to do it. You're going to learn how to hit that. You're going to do that." When you threw the first three or four footballs to him and hit him right on the nose or right on top of the head, knocked him down. "It's okay, son, get back up. We're going to do it again. We're going to do it again until you get right to do it." I mean, you know, it starts when their baby's sitting in a high chair and they got a spoon and they come along and put it in their eye instead of their mouth. I mean, there's some affirmation you got to tell them. That's not the right thing to do, but you're going to hit it one day. You're going to get it in the right hole and you're going to be happy because you're going to grow up. That's affirmation. Those are things that encourage children and build their emotion and their strength and who they are in God. Amen? And when you really come to that place and you start raising them in the admonition of the Lord and you start teaching them the Word of God, showing them the things that God says and letting them watch. See those children that were up here this morning? I like that kind of stuff. Because some of them may get lost along the way. Hopefully not. But some of them's going to find their way back. Hopefully all of them will, because they're affirming things into their life and they're saying, "I know you've never got up in front of the church and people, but it's going to be okay. You're going to get up there. You can even stand behind Susie and you can just do your part. Whatever it is, just get it done." But you're affirming them, showing them they can do things. They can move their hands and they can sing unto the Lord. And one day that's going to set a precedence in their life. And it's like, "I like that. That was good. Emotionally, that made me feel very good. And I think I would like to be somebody." And you'd be amazed how many of these children right here would be Sunday school teachers, pastors, worship leaders, and different things, because that set us precedence in their life that needs to be done. Amen? I feel a preach coming on. I better get on here. Joseph and Jesus. Joseph was Jesus' natural father. It never says a whole lot about him spiritually other than God had to interpret that dream to him to let him know that Jesus is your son, your son, but he was born of the Holy Ghost. But Joseph took on the natural part of a father. I thank God for people that will take other children into their house and do things, because that's a special honor to me, to love someone that you didn't give birth to, but you accepted them into your life. But Joseph did that, and I believe it. This is my version. You're not going to find that in chapter so-and-so, verse so-and-so. But I guarantee you that Joseph showed Jesus every day, "Okay, Jesus, come on. Get your tools, bring them out here. We got to build a table for Christina down the hall." And they got out there, and they started chipping away at the rocks and wood. I mean, I think he was a carpenter, but I think a carpenter has to do with masonry too. I think he was a jack of all trades and good at all of them. You ever heard people say, "Oh man, yeah, I'm a jack of all trades and good at none of them"? You know, well, there's a lot of people like that. But I believe Jesus was a jack of all trades and he was good at everything that he did. And I think everything naturally that he learned as a man, Joseph taught that to him. He showed him how to treat people well. When they came and they bought furniture or whatever it was they got from Jesus, I believe he was a great businessman. When he sat down and he showed him how to craft things, he showed him how to do it right, to do it accurately, to do it with excellence in everything that you do. I believe that Joseph showed Jesus how to do that. He was affirming him in the natural, if you will. And then the Heavenly Father affirmed him in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm. Everything that Jesus did, he says, I have to pray and ask the Father before I do that. My Father will give me words about what to do. He was affirmed in everything spiritually and what to do in his life. The Heavenly Father affirmed Jesus at baptism. We already talked about it. He also affirms us. See, I had a natural father that affirmed. He did not. Let me put it this way. He did not affirm me in very many things. That did not bother me at the time. I didn't know what this was. Had I did this and then realized what he did not do in my life, I would have probably been mad, probably been hurt. There's a lot of people that are hurt and running around with pain and suffering in their life because they were never affirmed. But I'm going to share with you in a minute how to get over that. You can't do that the rest of your life. There are people because my daddy never affirmed me, so I'll never amount to nothing. I don't know who I am or where I'm going or nothing. I don't have a purpose. I don't have a reason for who I am or what's going on in my life. That's no excuse for that. We all have a spirit that we can live by and we can listen to the Heavenly Father. Amen. Another thing, Paul and Timothy. Paul was not Timothy's daddy, but he took him under his wing. Joseph took Jesus because he was his son. But Paul took Timothy and raised him in a good way. He affirmed him in everything. Read 1 and 2 Timothy and see what he did there. He affirmed him. Everything Timothy did, he told him. He said, you're doing good. That's great. Just keep following. Keep doing. You're going to make it. You're going to see it happen. Another one was Barnabas and John Mark. John Mark was his nephew. And both of them brought John Mark on a missions trip one time. And we always look at, Lord, why did he get off the missions trip? Well, if you know, we talk about missions trips here now to where we jump on a jet airplane and we go fly somewhere. We stay a week or 2 weeks, and it's fairly in a good, safe place. And we do our thing there, and then we leave. We go preach the Word of God, minister to people, love them, laugh with them, cry with them, and then we come home. But John Mark, you got to understand, when they went somewhere, they went on a pack mule. They probably didn't even ride the pack mule. They probably walked behind it. And they went for weeks and months, and they went to places that was not protected. They did not get on a 747. They went there by foot, and they walked through desert. They walked through jungles. They walked through everything to get there. And that was just not John Mark's thing to do. How many of you know that everybody's not called to be a missionary? And John Mark had a problem with that. Well, he goes to telling Uncle Barnabas, this is not me. I want to go home. So Barnabas says, well, go home. So they send him home. And Paul got mad at it. In fact, it said it got so contentious between the two that they separated. Paul went one way, Barnabas went the other. But later on in life, because somebody affirmed John Mark in doing good things, and Paul did not recognize that, but later on he called and he says, I'm writing this letter to you, but one thing I want you to do is send John Mark to me because he is very valuable. He saw something in him that was affirmed in a godly way. And how many of you know that John Mark wrote a whole book in the Bible? Because somebody affirmed something in his life and used him in a great and mighty way. The story of my father and me. My father did not, and I don't blame him. I want you to know I have zero bitterness, zero anger for my father. I look back and see, and it was like, you know what? He was ignorant to the things of God. It doesn't mean he was a stupid man. He was ignorant. He did not know the Word of God. He did not know how to affirm people. How many of you were born in the 40s and 50s, 60s? You know, did y'all hear a lot about affirmation back then? Anybody? No, nobody has heard that. Not one hand in here. Okay, well, that's where my father was. And by and large, when I grew up to where I was in, when I started having kids, I never heard about it either. I didn't know how to affirm my kids. This is like, change them. They're here. Change their diapers. Feed them. Wash their clothes. Teach them something. Do something. And that's basically what we did. And especially I did when Todd was five years old before I was ever a Christian. But then after that, I started hearing things that I needed to do as a Christian father. I need to take care of my son. I need to teach him the Word of God. I need to pray with him. I need to bring him to church, not let his mother bring him there. I need to bring him there. Don't put him on a bus and send him there. Bring him there. Amen? But my daddy didn't know what affirmation was, so he didn't do it. And my daddy was just like most people's daddies and moms and me. I was that way one time, very selfish. It was all about getting what I wanted and growing up and doing the things that I wanted to do. And I wasn't too concerned about nobody else, and neither was my dad. He never took me hunting, fishing, or anything. No, I'll take it back. He did take me fishing a couple of times. And by the time we got the lines out of the trees, he didn't have a patience to bring me back. But I learned how to fish by other people. Other people showed me how to do that. But I never blamed my dad about that at all. But one of the things that I did, it gave me compassion for him when we started doing some things that we did in the last few years. And it's like, God, I forgive my dad for not doing those things. And I know he should have did it, but he didn't. But you know what? God provided affirmation through other people for my life. Somebody to come into my life, I'll never forget when I think I was 10 at the time. They used to have a garage around the corner at Kentwood from our house. And this black guy was working there, and he was washing parts, engine parts, and doing stuff. And I went over there, and I was watching him, and I said, what is that? And he told me what that was. Of course, I didn't have a clue at 10 years old. But he saw that I was interested in that. And I would ask him, what does this do, and what does that do? And he said, why don't you come over here and help me? So every afternoon after school, I would go over there to that shop, and I would work. And I would tell him, Mr. Charlie, what you want me to do? And he said, I want you to wash this part and that part and that part. So he had a big old vat, and I would stand on a box and wash those parts with a brush and Varsol and clean them and blow them off and put them on the table. And one day he told me, he said, you know where all these parts go? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, I'm going to show you today how to build a motor. I think I was about 11 by that time. And we set that motor on the table, and I had washed all the parts. They were spick and span clean. I mean, I'd washed them with everything. Set them up there, and he began to show me how to put them together. And then the next day, I went back, and he said, we're going to put that motor in that car, and I'm going to let you listen to it run. And that fascinated me. It did something to me. It affirmed something in my life. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. I'm already 71, and I still don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. But at that time, that question was really hot because I really don't know what I'm going to do. But I like whatever this is, I like to do this. The grease doesn't bother me. Nothing bothers me. I just like to do this. So I did. And when I heard that motor, when it started, it was like, yippee-yo-ki-yay, what is this? This thing, all this junk that was on the ground, it was all dirty and running. And now we're going to put it in a car. And I'll never forget, it was a 54 Oldsmobile, big old four-door sedan, and I'm sitting over on the passenger side. I barely could see over the dashboard. And I was so happy. We was riding down the street, and I said, I helped him do this. We did this. This is a motor that me and him, we're having fun here. And it's like, wow, what is that? That's affirmation. Amen? That was at Bob Stegall's garage there. And then later on, I learned there was a man on the other side of town that was building hot rod cars. And I went over there. His name was Wally May. And he began to show me how to really take and tweak and fine tune and really fabricate and really do things that you needed to know. So he affirmed the rest of it. They literally built a life in me that I could go and make my living. And I did. And I worked as a car mechanic for 27 years. And I was master mechanic before I quit. And it's all because two people affirmed things in my life that my daddy did not do. And by the way, he couldn't have done that anyway because he couldn't change a spark plug in a lawnmower. And that's okay. But he could build a house very well. He was a carpenter. But he didn't affirm what I needed. But God knew what I needed. And he put those two people in my place. And there was another time that I came along. I don't want to miss nothing here. The time it also when my dad was lost and I was saved. And that my family, you most of y'all know this, they didn't even speak to me for almost 15 years, and not even my children. And I said, you know, Lord, I want to come and I want to be able to recontact with my family. I didn't cause it. I didn't do it. I was not the one that left. They left me. So the Lord provided the thing where I could go back And I'll never forget going to his birthday that my cousin gave him. He was 80-something years old at that time. And she had asked me, she said, Kenny, when you come, she said, we're going to have some singing and dinner on the ground. And would you mind saying something? And at first, it's like, what am I going to say? So I got there, and the Lord, as soon as I walked up to the front of the den to say something, the Lord gave me the story about the prodigal son. And it was a reversal role from my dad to me. You know the story in the Bible where the son wanted his inheritance and he left because of his selfishness. The father stayed there and waited for the son to come back. Well, that was just the opposite for me and my dad. He was the one that had left. And I took that story and I told that story and I watched my dad just sitting there with tears running down his eyes. And it's like, you know what? God's fixing to do something good here. Well, after that, about 2 months went on, and my dad got saved before he died. I was able to lead him to the Lord, and we had a great relationship. We affirmed a lot of things. One thing he did was break the curse, family curse on our family, and then pray a blessing over our family. And what a blessing that was. I'm going to tell you what that made up for all of those years that was lost in there. You know, we all need to look at time, because we're only going to be here for a short time, basically. Eternity is going to be forever. But ever how long we're here, we need to use every minute, every second of it to get done what we're going to do. Amen? You see, I'm 71. If I live an average age to 80, 85 years old, I don't have much time. I'm going to be gone from here. And so will some of you. So that tells me what time I got left. I want to insert everything that I can. If I can affirm you in any way, I want to help you. Because I have been an affirmation to other people. God has used me to raise up young men and to work with young men and to help them to find out who they are and where they're going and encourage them and bring comfort to them and bring life to them. Amen? And He does you the same way. He wants to use every man and every woman in this church today. I know it's Father's Day, but I'm going to tell you what. I want to stop right here. How many women in here have pretty well raised your children without a husband? Okay, we got two right here. Okay, how many years have you done that? Where's one over here? Oh, help me. Okay, I want to tell you something. I hold you guys in high honor for what you've done. Because they play a double role in a family. Because they have to be a mother and they have to do fatherly things sometimes. And I hold that in great esteem to you ladies. I want to tell you, thank you for doing what you did. And you're here because your kids are here too, probably, because you've done a good job in raising them up. Not only in the natural, but the spiritual. Amen? Let's clap for them. But anyway, the role was changed in my father's life, but I watched God take that and turn it around to where he finally came back home. And he told me, I'll never forget when I drove up to their house after not seeing them for 15 years. They were barbecuing in the yard, and my son and my grandson was in the car with me. And we drove up in the yard, and they couldn't tell who we were. I was in one of those old hot rod cars with low windows and black windows and all that. And I blew the horn and let the window down, and I said, "Did the Cotreras live here?" And my dad was barbecuing, and he looked in that window, and he said, "Kenny." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Get out." So we got out and got around by the house there. And the first time I ever heard him in his life say, "Son, I'm so glad you're here. I love you. I've never told you I love you, but I want to tell you I love you." That made a world of difference. That was like a freedom. Even though I did not hold it against him, the bitterness and the things that was there, unforgiveness, I just said, "Thank you, Dad. Thank you." And you'll have to read my book to hear the rest of the story. I'm not going to go there. But a man has two hands. Two hands. There's one hand that always reaches out to our father about that affirmation. But then there's another hand, if we have children, that needs to reach to them. And be sure that we're affirming everything in their life. It doesn't matter if you got affirmed. If you're here and you know God, He is the affirmation all you need. Amen? Now, He'll put men in your path to teach you how to do other things, to fix your car, to change the oil in your car, to fix your ceiling fan, to do whatever you need to do. He'll put people in your life, but He'll also put other people, pastors and teachers and mentors, to help you affirm your children in a spiritual way. Amen? So how many men have two hands in here? Yeah, let me see him. Yeah. So that tells me you do have a father that you can look back to and take the good that you got from that, and even the bad, and don't do the bad, do the good. But then you can take this hand and affirm your children in all good things. Amen? How many of you know if we start doing that, we'll have a different generation of people growing up in the future? That's what this world needs today. The story of my two sons. I got two boys, and I love both of them. I tell you what, they're a blessing. Now, one of them just about drove me crazy when he was young. But after I looked at him one day, and he was just getting on my nerves, it's like, Lord, what is wrong with this kid? And I took a whole week, and I started praying, and I started fasting. And when it finally came down to the end of it, I said, Lord, what is it? Why can't I touch base with him? Why can't we connect? We're just miles apart. And I went in there to shave, and I picked up the razor, and I started to cut. And it was just like the Lord said, he's just like you. And that's like, that ain't God, you know. And I got to thinking about it, and it's like, yes, it is God. Because we were two peas in a pod. He was strong-willed, but when he believed something, he believed it with all of his heart. And when he said no, he meant no. When he said yes, he meant yes. In fact, I was correcting him one time, and I said, sit down in that chair. And he sat down, and he had this look on his face. I said, what are you thinking? He said, on the outside, I'm sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up. You're going to hear from him in just a minute. But that was my two sons. And I'll never forget that night that I was supposed to go to the hospital and they were going to take my eyeball out because I had injured it. And it was like, God, you know, I'm so selfish and I was lost at the time, by the way. I'm so selfish and I've done all this. And the doctor said, go home, pack your bags and meet me at the hospital. We're going to take your eye out tonight. There's no hope for it. If we don't take it out, it's going to spread. You can die from this, or you go blind in both eyes. Most of y'all know this story. But anyway, I did. I went, and I'm sitting in the den, and I went and took a shower, sitting in the den. I'm waiting for her to pack up some clothes, and I look coming down the hall, and my two little boys came running down the hall. Daddy, Daddy, where are you going? Daddy, Daddy, what's wrong? And for the first time in my life, just like, you know what? God has blessed me with two kids that are healthy. They're bright. They're beautiful, and I have blown it. I have not taught my kids what to do and how to do it. And this may be the last time that I ever really be able to physically see them, ever. And I took them and I held them in my arms, and I looked at both of them. I mean, every feature that you could. Because it's like, this may be the last time I ever get to look at them. And I loved them, and I cared for them, and I did everything that I could. And I said, Daddy's going away, but I'll be back soon, and we're going to start doing something. And I did. That's when I got saved. But it was like, when I got saved, it was like the Lord began to show me what to do with my children, how to raise them up, how to love them, how to care for them, how to teach them to care for other people, to go do, to give. We're not going to be greedy people. We're going to be giving people. We're going to help people, and we're going to do what we got to do as a family. And I'm going to let them share with you about that later. But anyway, I'm bringing affirmation to my sons and my grandsons and daughters, and soon to be a great-granddaughter. We got a little great-granddaughter coming in September, right? Amabel Rose Cotrier. You know, she's already in her mom right over there. She's going to hear this message and say, that was my great-grandpa. All right, I want to get Todd and Lance to come up. This is my son. And we all have the same barber. His name is called Cut It to the Nub. This is my son, Todd, and this is my grandson, Lance. And I want y'all to share. Oh, my gosh,
like
he brought a whole book
up
here.
All came from the same family. Huh? I tell everybody in our men's, I'm Kenny's stunt double. I'm not really Kenny to him. They hire me when he needs me. But I'm very happy and proud that I have the father that I do. And the mother, too. I'll try to get through this. excuse me. This morning I was reading, there's cards and there's sermons, plaques about how to be a good father. A good father is someone who is there. That's it. It's not on a card. It's not on a plaque. It's someone who's there through the good and the bad. And he's taught me to be a good father because he's loved my mother. He showed me how to love my wife, how to love my kids, my son who's fixing to have a kid. So I'm lucky. I have a dad. I have two sons, a daughter, and I have a grandbaby on the way. I'm not calling it grandbaby yet because I ain't that old. And so just our family, we've learned to laugh together. We've learned to laugh at each other. I think that's the most important thing. Don't just, you know, make fun of each other and have a good time. But we've always been there for each other. We've been through some tough times. Most of y'all know me. And most of y'all have been here for me. And I appreciate it. Now, the bad kid he was talking about is the one that lives in Florida. So, I can say that since he's in Florida. But I do appreciate my dad. He has taught me a lot of stuff. He's learned to build cars. He's taught me how to do anything and everything. I can weld. I can build cars. I can do it all. Thanks to him. And I've tried to pass that on to my son. I'm passing it on to my new son and my new daughter. That, you know, to just work hard. You don't have to be great at everything, but give everything your best. Mm-hmm. If you give it your best, people will appreciate it. You know, and we don't always do that. And we pay for it in the end when we don't do our best. But I did have a very good, you know, background of being bad. You know, he was talking about he didn't know if he was going to see us anymore. He saw us enough to whip us many years later. So we got straight. And I do appreciate him, and I thank very much, and I thank God for him every day, and my mother.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Good morning. I'm not a very good public speaker, so bear with me. It was funny because, you know, he asked us to speak today, but he didn't say what he was speaking on. But it's funny because he talks about affirmation, and that's everything that I wanted to talk about because that's all that they've ever done for me in my life is affirm everything that I do. You know, I was born to a teenage mother and father, but I had grandparents on both sides. So it's like I grew up with six parents, and I had affirmation from every angle.
And whippings. And whippings.
And whippings from every angle. But the most important things they taught me were to be respectful and loyal to everybody. You know, I'm a respectful and loyal man to my family and my wife. They always showed me how to work for everything. They never gave me anything. They didn't spoil me. You know, if I wanted something, I could throw a fit and I'd get whipped in the grocery store by my grandma. I still did not get it, you know. But they taught me how to work for everything. And, you know, not to boast, but I am the first person in our family to get a 4-year college degree.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of that work ethic I learned from them. But now I'm looking forward to being a father and raising our little girl, who's due in September. And, you know, just recently, you know, I haven't been going to church a lot until maybe February or March of this year when my grandfather helped me get saved again, you know. And I look forward to being a good example for my little girl and instilling those qualities I learned from both of these men and my other grandfather to her. And I know, you know, with God's grace, I can do that. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. When we were passing out those gifts a while ago about who drove the furthest on a vacation, I'll never forget one time we went to Breckenridge, Colorado. How many of you know it's 24 hours there, 24 hours back? And we decided to come home from Breckenridge to Baton Rouge. We were tired. We had been up snow this deep all week, and we were wore out. And we were going to come home, and Todd had just got his driver's license. And I'll never forget coming from Texas to Baton Rouge. We were driving, and I was so tired, I said, I got to sleep. So Janice and I, we had a big van back then, so we laid on the floor and covered up with a blanket, and Todd was driving. And our other friends had a son the same age as him, and it's like, I woke up in the middle of the night, and it's like, oh, my God, my son is driving this van down the interstate We're in the back of it, and my friend's son's driving theirs. What are we thinking about, you know? But he did a great job because I trusted him. Amen. I taught him well, and I'm not bragging about that. I think we ought to give our kids our best. Amen. In everything that we do. But that's part of the affirmation. But I've been able to affirm my sons naturally, but the greatest thing was to affirm them spiritually. That I've taught them about the things of God. They had to build. I didn't go buy my kids a new car when they got of age to go have a car. I went out and bought a junk pickup truck that I had to get a wrecker to bring it to my house in three different sections and set it in my carport when I lived over there. And I said, son, here's your first car. And he said, Daddy, that's junk. I said, but one day it's going to be nice. And that thing turned out to be a beautiful show truck. And it's just because I taught him how to do it. But he knew where every nut and bolt, everything that was to be done. And I'm talking about from the frame up, from the paint job to the interior, to the glass, to every part of it, the wiring and everything. I showed him how to literally build a vehicle. And I showed Chad how to do that. But there was nothing so special as the times that we sat at the table and held hands and prayed and asked Jesus to help us get through situations in our life. Whether it was his situation or my situation, but God was there to affirm to all of us that God is good. Amen? And I'm proud of that part of doing my life. My household will be saved. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I can truthfully say that today, that all of my family members are serving God. They are serving God. My son, the one I talked about a while ago, that we butted heads a lot. He's working in a church in Florida, Boca Raton, Florida, and he preaches and teaches more than I do. And he's still got a regular job because he loves God. He has a work ethic to do that, and he's enjoying it and having a great time in it. And every time he calls me, it's like, really? That happened? Yeah. Daddy, you just got to see this. Really? Well, send it up here. Give me a video. But he sent a video. We're going to show that in just a minute. In fact, we're going to do that right now. Yes. If you'll turn that video on, Bill, please.
Hi, my name is Chad, and I've been asked to speak about what fatherhood means to me. And all I can really say is what my personal experience has been with my father. I could tell you many things about how we did manly things growing up, how he taught me how to work on cars and ride motorcycles and chop wood and some of those things. But I think it means more than that to me. I remember when my parents were moving from the home that I grew up in, our childhood home, and we had moved all the furniture out of the house, and we were packing up the last boxes and getting ready to leave. And the family gathered there in the kitchen where we had been for so many times, eating breakfast and eating dinner and together as a family over so many years. And there was a lot of emotion in the room. And I thought, I'll make a joke. And so I said something to the effect of, we should just cry because we're leaving the house. And I said it as a joke, but I remember looking over at my dad, and he began to cry. Tears came to his eyes, and he gathered the family together there where our dining table used to be, and we all held hands in a circle, and he began to pray. And he began to thank God for all the blessings that he'd given our family, and thank God for keeping us safe. Thank God for the good times and the bad times. And it was a very special moment that I'll never forget that we had there in the kitchen. And that's what fatherhood is to me. Fatherhood is a dad who not only will teach you the tough things in life, but will also be sensitive in the times where you have to be sensitive. And I'll never forget that moment. So I learned that my dad is a good man. My dad is merciful, he's gracious, and that he has love for his family. That's what fatherhood means to me. It was about a month ago, I was walking out of my church on Wednesday night, and I saw a couple of guys there working on small cars. And I asked them what they were doing. And they said that they were with the scouts, and they were going to have a race, a Pinewood Derby race. I hadn't heard that name in quite a while. It had been many years. But I began to think about my youth and how when I was a scout, I also built Pinewood Derby cars. And I remember the cars that my dad built with me. And I asked them if I could race the cars that I have. And they said, sure. Show up on Saturday morning, bring your cars, and you can race. So here's those cars today. This is the one that my dad and I built together. I brought it on that Saturday morning. And more than 35 years after being built with my dad, we won a trophy. And I thought this was special because I sent a photo of the trophy and the car to my dad via text message, of course. And I told him that we won. And he responded, congratulations, you won. And so I gave him a call and I said, no, Dad, we won. And then he remembered, that's the car that we built so long ago. That is what fatherhood is about. Fatherhood is creating memories that last decades. Creating memories that no matter what happens in life, you realize, I had a great time with my dad at that time. I can say that all the memories that I have growing up and from my childhood were very good memories. Memories like building this car and building real cars, riding motorcycles, going camping, many different things that were a lot of fun. And I want to say to the fathers out there and even to the sons, if you have made a mistake and there's something bad that's happened between you and your son or you and your father, the good memories will definitely overtake the bad memories. So you have another chance to do something good. You have another chance to reach out to your son or reach out to your father and make it right. Reconcile today if you're not in good relationship with your father or son. It's worth it. You may have a story 35 years later that you could tell and say, you know, this is something that my dad and I did together, or and have a good memory that discounts all the bad memories. So on this Father's Day, I want to recognize my dad, Kenny Couture, Pastor Kenny, as many of you know him. I've always known him as Dad. He's never been Father. It's always been Dad to me. And it's a nice term because it's close, and I know that he loves me. And I love him, and I'm glad that we have such a great relationship throughout our life. And so today, Dad, I say I love you. Happy Father's Day. Yeah.
I'm glad I watched that last night, so I let all the tears out. God's good, amen? But you know, that little car was one of the things that we had a major argument over. Because he made that little red one, and it's just ugly. But that blue one is the prettiest car, and it won both times. Amen? So you need a dad to help you with that. That blue one's got a Hemi in it, by the way. No, I'm joking. I want to ask you something. How about you? You know, if you had a shot at anything that was said today and you want to be a better dad, today would be a good day to start it. If you had a bad relationship with your dad, it'd be a good time to forgive him. Whether he's alive or not, you can still say, God, I forgive him and I release him. And I just thank God that we have a heavenly Father. And by the way, we can call Him Abba Father, which literally means Daddy. That we can go sit in His ever-loving arms and let Him affirm us and heal us from anything that was in the past. And He will make us the dad that we really need to be in the future. Amen? I'd like for all the dads to stand up. All of you. I want to pray for each and every one of you today. And if you're here and you've never been born again and you've never taken the time to affirm your children in either way, the natural or the spiritual, today would be your day. And as I'm praying, I want you to ask. I can't ask you that you would affirm your kids. You are going to have to purpose that in your heart and say, I will do that. I will affirm my children. I will do what God wants me to do. And I will do what God has in the future for me to do. And I want to read this little story. Some of you might have heard it before. It's old. I remember one day standing in church and repeating this after the pastor had got up on a day that when my children were small. And I'll never forget sitting at the mirror shaving one day. And I was looking over and I got through shaving. And I got my belt and I was putting it in the loops all the way around. And I looked over on the side and Todd was standing right there. And he had a belt and he was putting it in the loops all the way around. It's like, oh my gosh. He's going to be just like me one day. I mean, oh. So, the next day I read this. This, and I want you to listen to it. It says, walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walk this way, many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and to help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of the children are their fathers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come today, Lord, and I lift up every father in this building, Lord God, that you would touch their lives, that you would save them to the uttermost, Lord God, that you would minister to them by your Spirit, Lord God, how to be natural good fathers, Lord God, how to be spiritual fathers, Lord Jesus, to their children, how to mentor them, Lord God, in everything that's to be done in their lives. And Lord, I thank you for the men in this group right here, Lord God, that's been mentors to each and every one of us in different things. And Father, I praise you today, Lord God, that you will send people to them to help them, to let them, give them a new love for their family, Lord God, for their little boys and their little girls. And Lord, that you would use them in the days to come. And Father, I give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And all the men said, amen. Amen. Now, another thing, I will say one thing, one more thing about spiritual mentors. Find some. If you don't have any, go get plugged in somewhere. We have men's groups. We got one on Tuesday night. We got one on Wednesday night. We got men in here that will help you do things. Every now and then, I'll just go help somebody to do something just to help them do it, just to see what they can teach me and what I can teach them. And I had some great spiritual mentors in my life. One of them was the first pastor that I went to a church was Tom Summerall, Brother Jim Clark, which passed away last week. He was a great mentor in my life. David Kelly was one of the first men that ever recognized that I had a gift and a calling to minister to people, and he was still is a great friend. Another one was Bill Courtney to teach me how to get up and talk in front of people. And another one was Terry Workman right here. Now, he's 10 years younger than I am, but he's been like a father in a lot of things, a spiritual father, because he's taught. He's brought the Word of God, and the Word of God through the Father in heaven has used these men to develop and to form my life. And if he did that, he can do that for you. Amen? Amen. Happy Father's Day. And look. Thank you, Lord. Did everybody get a tape? Everybody got, all the men got a tape? Well, these women that raise kids by themselves, we need to give them a tape, somebody. But all of us have something to measure up to. And that's the standard of God. Amen? So let's measure up to it. Put that in your pocket and remember, God is your Father and He loves you. And He affirms you. He loved you so much that He gave His Son on the cross for you. Amen?